Hi, hello everybody, and welcome into another edition of Speed Syndicate, episode 68, this one titled Bell to Bell. I'm Logan Loganity Moore, so whatever's left of him, and luckily we don't do it alone. A lot to talk about, a little time to get there, eastbound and down style, if you will. So let's get right to it. I am your host, Logan Loganity Morris. What's up, Freddie? How you doing? Let's bring in the cast of characters to do it with me this week. He is the show creator. He is the Canadian bacon. He is the suave to the huave, if you will. He is many, many things, a musician, a humanitarian, a lover, not a fighter. I'm talking about Adam Carabine. Come on in here.
Wow, humanitarian. That's very nice of you. Thank you. Yeah, hello. How are you? I missed you guys last week.
You've made it back to the Great North, I assume.
Yeah. I did. I'm back home. I actually listened to our podcast on Spotify on my drive once I landed in the Atlanta area, because I flew from Atlanta and then drove to Nashville from there. It was just a weird trip of travel, but all that to say, yeah, I missed you guys, but it was nice to listen on Spotify, and good to be back in the saddle here.
Missed you as well, buddy. Great to see you. Hope you enjoyed hope my dulcet tones helped your drive, brother.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
And speaking of dulcet tones and beautiful eyes, let's bring in the lady that helps make it all happen. She is, without a doubt, folks, the MVP of the Racing Refresh or Speed Syndicate crew, whatever you'd like to call us. She is the absolute tippy top of the A-list. Nobody works harder and no one gets more done on a day-to-day basis for this team than her. Let's bring her in, producer Peyton Lohr.
I don't know about getting things done. I feel like I did a lot of laying in bed and eating Nutter Butters this weekend.
I do like a good Nutter Butter myself, but you know, well, producer Peggy, I know this was when you had your you had one circled here. You know, it's Phoenix. It's the championship race in the fall. And Ryan Blaney, Blue Ninja. Thoughts?
I don't have many. Just, I remember that when it happened, you and I were on FaceTime.
Yeah.
And you have cable and I have streaming. And so you were a little bit ahead of me. And I was having a particularly rough day. What else is new? And you went, well, your day is about to get a little worse.
Yeah.
And then I looked up and.
Yep.
And there's smoke.
Yep, all of a sudden. All of a sudden, no doubt about it, there was indeed smoke, and I ain't talking about Tony Stewart. Though he did get a round win this weekend against Brittany Force in the NHRA. We'll bring you back in just a little bit, producer Peggy, but for now, it's time to do our weekend review. All right, everybody, it's time to talk a little NASCAR racing. And that, of course, means it's time to review Phoenix. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising, and she indeed did rise. And I'll tell you what else, Rose. Christopher Bell one more time. That's why we call it Bell to Bell, folks. He gets three in a row, incredibly so. And that rhymed is what it did right there. And I'm a poet, and I didn't even know it. Tell you what, I'm just a genius here. You all are watching Genius at Work. So Bell has won the last three races in a row now. Incredible stuff, in my opinion. We'll talk more about that. And, you know, good for him. Wonderful stuff. He also won last year's Vegas spring race. All right. So I'm going to ask you a question, Mr. Carabine, and I actually am wrong. And you'd think I would know this because I wrote the script this week. But we're going to bring back producer Peyton Lohr. We're going to bring her back.
Okay.
We're going to bring you all on the show scared right now. You want to know why I love hosting a show, folks? because I drive it and we go wherever I say we go.
This is true.
And that is why I love hosting the show, because nobody can stop me. So producer Peyton, I want you to come back in for just a moment. Hi, how are you? Hello again. You're like, oh my God, what is this? All right, I got a question based on a conversation I had last night with producer Peyton and a wonderful friend of ours named Justin C. Adam, I want to know, how impressed are you by what Christopher Bell is doing? Are you impressed? Are you not impressed? Is it much ado about, not nothing, but is it a little overblown? Is it just something the media is hyping up? What's your take on Christopher Bell's three-peat, if you will?
I definitely wouldn't call it overblown. I think it's very impressive. I think it's in this next-gen era that he's the first driver to do this three-in-a-row thing. And I think the next-gen car was brought in to bring more parity to the sport. And while maybe in the first, few months of the car, certainly the better funded teams did a better job of figuring out what they're doing. But I think that now the playing field has really evened out, and to get three in a row is crazy, especially at the tracks that he's done it at. Atlanta, then COTA, then whatever it was, we were at Phoenix. I think those are three completely different tracks. And so it shows that he is not only consistent because he can do it 3 weeks in a row, but 3 weeks in a row at three completely different tracks. And so it makes him a very well-rounded driver. Now, does having good equipment help with that? Absolutely. Does, just the fact that he's had some luck play into it? Absolutely. And like, he was not maybe the best car at COTA, but it all worked out in the end for him. And I think you have to be lucky to be good, but you have to be good to be lucky. So there you go.
I like that. I like how you put that. A couple comments to get to from Freddie. Freddie, we appreciate you. We love you. Just want you to know that. He says, the bigger question is, can Bell do four in a row? We're going to talk about that later on in the show, Freddie. Guarantee you we will. And then he said, for Bell to win three in a row, three different tracks, three different style of tracks, that's impressive. I don't disagree that it is impressive.
I stole Freddie's talking points there, but I agree, Freddie.
I come to ask a question to the most beautiful woman on this dais. How impressed are you, producer Peyton, by what Christopher Bell is doing?
Not very.
Uh-oh.
And why is that?
I just feel like, I mean, of course they're going to go win races. That's their job.
Yeah. Three of them in a row. First time since 2021.
First time in this car.
Yeah.
I mean, someone had to be the first. Like, I just don't get what, like, the big deal is. Like, I can go play and win three Fortnite matches. Like,
All right. So the next question is, what number would it take for you to be impressed?
Give me five in a row, and I'll start to pay attention.
I said, impressed by what? He's got to approach Richard Petty's 10 in a row to even get you to really be impressed.
And it has nothing to do with Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell, I mean, I'm no Christopher Bell, like, hater, but I'm no fan either. Like,
I sound like a hater.
He's just, like, he's just there.
He's just there, folks. Love it. Like, love it.
I don't love him, but I don't hate him. Like,
you know where he is, Peyton? He's just there in victory lane is where he is.
Like, but, like, I don't know, just Like, would we really be surprised if he or Kyle Larson or Joey Logano or Denny Hamlin or Ryan Blaney or, I don't know, any of them, like, obviously not, like, Legacy Motor Club.
What is going on here? Yeah, it's fine.
But any of, like, the top drivers with the more funded equipment, would we really be surprised if any of them pulled out three in a row? Like, I just,
it hasn't been done since 2021. I'd say so.
I just don't see, like, the big to do.
You knew now the 2021 was like
4 years ago,
four seasons and a president ago. Like, it's been a while.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted to bring
Kyle Larson did it twice in 2021. If Christopher Bell does it twice this year, then maybe I'll raise my eyebrows.
Well, but also, like, okay, there are some stretches of the schedule where, like, you get mile and a halfs over and over again. Like, if it was 3 mile and a halfs in a row, I would understand maybe feeling underwhelmed. But these are three completely different disciplines. Does that factor in for you, Peyton?
No.
All righty. That's why I wanted to bring her back in, folks. I wanted to get her thoughts.
There we go.
Producer Peyton, we will see you in just a couple moments when we break down all the action from the Gator Nationals. But I wanted to get her thoughts on that because after the discussion that was had last night in private, I said, we gotta get that take on the show.
I just don't see the...
So, Producer Peyton, we'll see you here in just a few minutes.
Call me when you do something cool, bro.
Green Crow's not cool, but all right. Like,
wow.
Most drivers would metaphorically kill for it, but all right.
Yeah.
So again, despite the fact that Producer Peyton is Shania Twain and that don't impress her much, there's a Canada reference for you, Mr.
Good Canadian Canada. Reference there. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, that don't impress me much. That music video is a fire little deal too. So Larson last won three in a row in 2021. He won the championship that year, as Producer Peyton did correctly say. He did it twice that year. And so I got a question for you. I know it's real soon. I mean, it's real soon. It's.
Oh my, look at what I've done here. That's good.
That's nice. it's real soon. And so maybe it's too soon. It's kind of like saying I love you 2 months into the relationship. It's a little early. But is Christopher Bell the championship favorite?
I mean, ahead of anyone else right now, yeah, he's got to be. Who else would you have above him at this point?
That's a good question.
Like, even if you're not impressed by three wins in a row, Peyton is just dying laughing at me because I accidentally made that video play. I can see her backstage. Even if you're not impressed by three wins in a row.
And she's not.
She's not.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm looking now. William Byron actually has more points than Christopher Bell.
Well, right, score now. One for Producer Peyton as to why three in a row is not that impressive. I'll be damned.
Ian,
thank you for tuning in. He says Bell and Brian are the two favorite. Bell and Byron, pardon me. Lord, it helps if I can read. My battle against literacy is really going well. It's really impressive. Yep. He says Bell and Byron are the two favorites so far. You got to agree, right? They're the two winners. Again, I know it's way soon. It's way soon, but we got to have something to talk about.
I honestly even would discount Byron's win more than any of Bell's, just because the Daytona 500 is so full of, like, chaos, and yes, you have to be there in the end. It's, you know,
you're gonna discount the creme to the creme of
no it. I think it counts. Like, it counts, absolutely, it's a win. But as far as, like, that being a barometer for who is going to be your championship favorite, being good at Daytona does not equate to winning the championship at Phoenix. That's all.
That's fair.
But Bell literally just won at Phoenix, so
that's fair. You know, now he did, for the record, he did do that last year, and obviously it was not his championship that was won. So again, we don't want to make too much hubbub, but I thought it was a fair question.
Yeah,
Freddie, a couple of comments here from Freddie. Remember, Harvick won 8 races a few years ago and didn't make the championship 4. Yeah, look, this system.
That is the system.
Yeah, this system breeds those kind of moments. And he says you can win 12 races and still don't make the Final Four. It's way too early to tell who's going to make the championship four if he gets into it. I get it. Yeah, I agree. I but again, it's one of those things, right? We're doing a podcast. We're on here every week, so we just kind of throw some darts, and that's what we're going to do. And we're going to throw another dart here in just a few moments.
I mean, in theory, Freddie, I was going to say, I'm cutting you off, Logan. Sorry. In theory, Freddie, you could win 35 races in a row and come in second on the last one and not win the championship, right? Like that is the system we're in. But I guess, do you tailor how you approach these races because you know what the system is ahead of time, right? I know they're talking about revamping that for next year. We'll see what happens, but sorry, Logan, I'll let you go now.
You're good, buddy. No, if you got it, sometimes I get a little, you know, malfunction at the junction. Don't be afraid to cut me off. I get what you're saying, Freddie. You're right. I do think it's probably too soon to say for sure, but it's kind of worth it, considering we came out of Phoenix, and that is the championship race for at least this season. We'll see what happens next year. I thought it was a worthy question. All right, one more question on the Cup race, and then we got to move it on because there's a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I want your thoughts on the option tire. Were you impressed? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you want it back? I believe NASCAR's already made it clear it won't be back for the championship race. But do you want it back in other forms? Do you want it on other short tracks? What's your thoughts on the option tire? That goes for you, Ian. That goes for you, Freddie. And, of course, you, Adam.
I loved it, honestly. I thought it was awesome. I think the broadcast could use a little sprucing up as far as like presenting it. I think they could have done a better job of showing who was on the option tire. I know kind of halfway through the race, they finally started to kind of show, like, even it just said like OPT next to their name. And I thought I'm sure there's a better way to show who is taking the option tire or not, you know, the softer tire. But as far as like a strategy thing that they added to this race, I am so on board. I think it's awesome. And I think it changes so much of what can sometimes be at some of these tracks, just a little bit of follow the leader until like the final 20 laps. Right. And so you get guys like Ryan Preece who take a gamble and go for it early. And he's suddenly carving his way through the field. You get, you know, there's drama around that. You've got someone like Logano who had a penalty and took the option tire early so he could get back to the front and get track position. Like, I find stuff like that super interesting. And yet, I don't think it was the factor in determining who won the race, right? Like, Christopher Bell was the fastest car on the track, regardless of which tire he was on. And so, yeah, he won the puzzle, if you will, of the day, but he also was deserving of that because he was fastest. So I didn't think it was so outlandishly crazy that it completely affected the outcome of the race, but I liked having a little extra drama inside the race, especially at a track like Phoenix that I don't find is always the most entertaining track. So I found myself more glued to it. I don't know. What about you?
I completely agree with you. I personally thought I like the strategy aspect of it. I like when you give these drivers and crews more to chew on, more to think about. And like you, I don't want to get to the point that we're kind of absolutely throwing a gimmick out there that you can just time right and somehow win the race. If it ever gets to that, I'll be disappointed. Now, don't get me wrong. As a driver, if it gets to that, you do what you got to do. We're here to win. But yep. I agree with you that I like the fact that the cream still rose, the cream of the crop still rose to the top as far as Christopher Bell this week goes. And so I personally liked the option tire. I liked the add a litter strategy, the add a litter drama, because I think if there is one, and I'm overall a pro stage racing guy, But if there is one thing that stage racing has really hurt, it's the strategy aspect of crew chiefs. And there's a lot of follow the leader where as much as I love that it creates more intense racing towards the end of those stages, and it lessens the lull that some of these races can get into, I do miss when a crew chief could kind of throw a proverbial Hail Mary and seize up sticks. And so I like the idea of somehow creating more strategy involved in the sport. I think that is a plus. I will always support that. And like you said, it wasn't as if, you know, Bell was only the top car on the option tire. He was the top car pretty much from flag to flag for the most part.
You look at someone like Ryan Preece, who finished 15th on the day. Is that maybe a little ahead of where he might have finished without this kind of option tire? Maybe that gives him a tiny bit of a boost, but sure. I feel like that's a fair finish for the Ryan Preeces of the world. And yet he got some real shining time on TV for his sponsors, you know, like that was cool. And I imagine that team is happy to come home with a P15, you know, and what, 34 laps led. So
yeah,
it's great.
Pretty good day for that team, all things considered.
Yeah.
A couple of comments from Freddie. Option tire, he wants to see it at Bristol. Martinsville will be interesting. I agree, especially at Bristol, because let's be honest, ever since the repave, but then the repave made it tough, and then this new car has made it tougher. Bristol, while still has the kind of pomp and circumstance, it is, when it comes down to actual brass tacks, it's not what it used to be, right?
Right.
And so option tire, yeah, I'd agree. Texas Motor Speedway, well, I'd be okay with it. Yeah, I think they should try it more. Again, I think you got to space out where you do try it, because it is kind of it's a trial thing for now.
For sure. Right?
It's something that I would try again at the All-Star race, you know, because that is, that's where you should try things. It's the All-Star race. It's only $1 million on the line.
I want to add this too, Logan. I also think like Goodyear could maybe work on the tire a little bit. If I had some like constructive criticism, I would say it might be interesting if the tire fell off a little faster. It felt like sometimes when they went to the option tire, they were able to pretty much stay out there, you know, just as long as the regular tire. And so I think, yeah, if it falls off a little sooner so that maybe you get like a good 30 lap run at Phoenix, like faster than everyone else, and then suddenly, you know, you're down in the dumps because of it, or, you know, so I think there's some wiggle room there maybe, and some playing around that Goodyear can do. But I think all in all, a good first try here at Phoenix. So
no, I think we'll see an evolution of this option tire, and hopefully in a couple of years when they really are comfortable with it, I'd love to see it become a more permanent part of the game. All right. Lastly, for the Cup Series, I want to ask one simple question. Is it too soon to be worried about anyone? If you look at the point standings, there's some guys already in fairly significant holes. Now, again, this is a weigh-in system. Now, so I want that to be stated clearly and abundantly. And yes, that's the honest to goodness truth. But there's already some guys in some significant holes. I'm talking about guys like Brad Kay, Ty Gibbs, Austin Cindric, thanks to his penalty. Daniel Suarez, not looking great. I'm just talking about some guys that we look at and go, yeah, they're winners, and yeah, they're potential playoff guys. And that isn't disrespecting anybody else on this list. I'm just saying those are some of the names that really jump out, that they are a little low after, you know, we are still way early. I know that. We've only done 4 of 26 races. But let me ask you this question, Adam. Is it too early to worry about anybody? Again, Ty Gibbs jumps out at me. And so does Brad Kay, both in pretty, especially Gibbs, very respectable equipment. Kind of odd to start so poorly, especially on a top tier team. Anybody you're concerned about, or is this much ado about nothing?
Well, I'm going to bring in Freddie's comment, because I agree with Freddie again. He says too early to worry yet. I honestly saw, we have our little group chat with some of our other NASCAR friends, and you guys were talking about, who's on the hot seat already. And I gotta say, I think no one should really be on the hot seat yet. I think especially with the first three races of the season being, you know, two drafting tracks where anything can really happen. The third one is a road course, you know, that's kind of a wild card. Phoenix is your first real look at, like, you know, normal oval racing, which is kind of NASCAR's bread and butter. And then also you have, you know, things that happen, right? Like, you can have a bad race and it doesn't mean you're suddenly on the hot seat. So I think give it another two to three races. And if things are still looking the way they are for some of these drivers down there, like Daniel Suarez, Ty Gibbs, I would start to worry maybe. I mean, I don't know if anyone's in a must win situation just yet. But, and then also add on top of that, sorry, I will cut you off one more time here. Apparently I'm doing that today. Add on top of that, that the system is win and you're in, right? So you can ride around 35th in points and win on the last race and you're in the playoffs and it's, you know, all is forgiven in a certain sense, you know, like where winning is the name of the game. So I think it's too soon.
It is. I will shout from the hilltops, in my opinion, and I want to be clear that it's my opinion. I don't have anything to back it up. But I just think if you read the tea leaves, my opinion is Daniel Suarez is very much on the hot seat. I believe that 100%. Now, could I be wrong as 2 + 2 = 5? Perhaps. But I believe 100% he is on. He needs to win at least twice this year, I think, to keep that ride. That is just my personal opinion. I don't have any inside info. I think, though, his seat is rather warm. And I'm not talking about because he's been out in the sun.
I don't disagree with you about that. But I think if I were Justin Marks, you know, leader of Trackhouse Racing, I don't know if I'm looking at where Suarez is in the points right now and making my decision.
Certainly not. I don't think anyone has made a decision.
Well, just I think it's too, like, I don't know if I look at that and say, oh man, you know, this is concerning. I think I say, well, let's give it to like 10 races, see what happens.
I'll talk more about my thoughts on Suarez here in a bit, but we got to keep moving.
Yeah.
Eric Almirola controversially won the GovX 200. If you saw the finish, he doored Bowman at the finish, and it got people kind of cranked up. Some people said, dirty move. He went too far. He shouldn't have to stoop to those kind of levels. My personal take, and I'll ask yours after this, Adam, I'm going to go first on this one.
Yeah.
I think you do all you can do within reason. And I know the big question is, well, what's within reason? I don't know. Certainly not what Austin Dillon did, but I don't think what Eric Almirola did in 2025 is that egregious. I really don't. Now, I get in the old days and, you know, but look, as much as, and no one wants to harken back to previous eras of NASCAR more than me, but we also have to acknowledge it's 2025. And in 2025, I don't think what he did is that egregious. I really don't. I just don't. I think if you're not there giving it everything you got, when you have a realistic, true shot without having to wreck half the field of winning the race, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your guys, to give it everything he got. So, no, I didn't think it was a dirty move. I know Bowman was upset by it. I get that. I'm not saying that it was, like, the most clean thing in the world, but I'm saying in 2025's version of NASCAR, that's become pretty acceptable. Again, what Austin Dillon did, while I was not necessarily in favor of stripping him for the win, I was the first to tell you that it was egregious. Mm-hmm. He still won the race. I just don't like pretending things didn't happen. All right. Right. Like, at the end of the day, he did win. And so that's my take. I don't think it was that bad. I know we got some friends and some buddies and some fans that say, oh, this is exactly what's wrong with the sport. I'm not saying it's not a problem. I'm saying that any other driver in that position would have probably done the same thing in today's era. And that's just the truth of it. And if you don't think so, it's not like Eric Almirola is known for his dirty racing. All right. Right. That's not exactly a guy that we go, boy, he really, you know, he's not exactly Ryan Newman out there, all right? So, and I'm not saying Ryan Newman was dirty, but he was tougher to pass than a kidney stone, and he made sure of that.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it was that bad, and I think that there was a lot of crying. There was a lot of spilled milk over I don't know, what, pretending this sport is still, it's not 2005, it's 2025. Clearly, what is acceptable on the last lap has evolved. What was your take on the finish? Did you see the finish?
I did. I caught the highlights of the finish. I don't know if I even fully agree with your talk about it being 2025. Like, I feel like if this was a Dale Sr. move, people would cheer it and be like, hell yeah.
Thank you. Finally, somebody said it.
Right? Like, I think, yeah, you got to do what you got to do for the win. It sucks. You know, I get being Bowman and being pissed, you know, sure. You're pissed anytime you don't win the race. I think Denny Hamlin's pissed he didn't win Phoenix and he lost to his teammate, you know, in a clean finish to the end, right? So sucks to be Bowman. Maybe next time you put yourself in a better position where you can do the same or you can hang on for that win, right?
Yeah.
I also, I don't know. I mean, Eric Almirola and Alex Bowman are not competing to get into the playoffs in the Xfinity series, you know, like they're not full-time drivers in the Xfinity series. So it sucks if Eric Almirola does that to like a Justin Allgaier or something. And, you know, or if maybe it were to regular Xfinity drivers, maybe NASCAR looks at saying, hey, you know, we'll let you keep the win, but we'll take away your playoff eligibility or something like that. Like I can understand maybe some of that, but it also wasn't as egregious as the Austin Dillon incident from last year. So I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. And I think this whole, you know, oh, how can we do this? You know, I think historically this is something that Dale Sr. could have done and people would have literally just like, I can't even say it on here what they would have done watching that. They would have been very excited.
They would have cheered about it, in my opinion anyway. Maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
We can't go back and relive it, so we can't say for sure. Ryan Hill coming through. Good to have you, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
He says he has no problem with the move. Only tears happened because it was against an HMS driver. Hot, bringing in the hot. Hit the hot button, Pete. Hit the hot button. Because he's bringing it in. He's bringing in the hot. Ryan says, if Bowman did it to Almirola, there would be no complaints. He's hot, hot, hot. Man, bring
interesting, it. Interesting, interesting. Yeah. We missed this comment from Freddie earlier, too. He said the ARCA winner moved the 28 out of the way to win, and the 19 did the same thing. They all did the same thing to win their races. It's racing. You got to do what you got to do for wins.
Again, yeah. I know that it's hard to quantify what the line is, and I respect that. And everyone's line is different. I also respect that, right? It's in some ways it's like a moral debate. What's good for me might not be good for you. And that doesn't really mean either one of us are wrong. It's just how we feel differently. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how this is. Like for some, I get it. If you're a real kind of pillar of the old school, the real old school, I get where you go. That's kind of dirty. And at the time it probably was, but again, I think it's almost like in baseball. It used to be you didn't show up a pitcher. You didn't show up a pitcher at all. You didn't strut. You hit your home run. You put your head down, went around the bases. That doesn't happen anymore. When people hit a big-time home run these days, a lot of players are doing what they call pimping on them because they've decided in this era we're going to show emotion and we're going to celebrate our victories, not necessarily showing it up our opponent, but we're going to really celebrate our victories and do everything we can. Times change, folks.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is. Sometimes that's for the better, sometimes it's for the worse. That's a different discussion for a different show. But yeah, I don't have any problem with it. And I do think to some extent, if it was a couple different drivers involved, people may feel differently. I think if Justin Allgaier does it, I think people might feel differently. I think if Alex Bowman does it, people might feel differently. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Anywho, we got to keep moving along. Let's bring back in producer Peyton Lord. Let's bring her back in for just a few moments here as we keep moving. We keep sliding. We keep moving. We keep moving and dancing. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
You're welcome. It's good. Always a pleasure to see you. Beautiful face. Ryan says, at the end of the day, I'm just happy Allgaier didn't win. He's not an Allgaier. He's not an Allgaier guy. By the way, I found out he's not a Truex guy either, Adam.
Ryan, what the hell?
Not a Truex guy.
How can you not like Justin Allgaier? He's so likable.
See, see, when, see, I, This is good stuff. Go ahead and you apply to that, Ryan. We're going to talk a little. We're going to talk just for a second, a little NHRA. They had their Gator Nationals this weekend. Look, reigning Top Fuel champion AB, Antron Brown, got it done in Top Fuel. Chad Green got it done in Funny Car. Dallas Glenn and Gage Herrera, they took home the Wally's and other perspective categories. All right. Producer Peter, I want to ask you, you know, what stuck out to you? Did you, were you shocked about Chad Green?
I was shocked about Chad Green. However, I mean, no hate, no shade to Ron Capps, you know, 3-time champ, but hasn't won since 2023. So.
Neither had Chad Green for that matter. So one of these big streaks had to go. And look, I thought it was a great weekend of racing. They did dodge the rain. There was two qualifying sessions on Friday, you remember, Peyton? And then Saturday was a complete washout, and we have a friend who hates the rain. So let me tell you, and he was there. He was none too pleased. Greg Anderson set the qualifying world record in Pro Stock, and remember, he's your reigning, defending Pro Stock champion. Tough weekend for JFR. The Proc Rocket, they had a round one stunner and were out. Tony Stewart defeated Brittany Force in round one on Elimination Day on Sunday. So for all you NASCAR fans, Tony Stewart got a round one win. Still looking for that first quali, though, and I'm confident he'll get it. If it's got wheels and you can drive it, he'll figure it out.
I think he'll get it this year.
As do I. When I talk to him, and I don't mean to, you know, I don't mean to name drop here, but when I talked to him in December, he was very adamant that that's his big goal for 2025 is to get that first elusive Wally. And so we'll see how he does. They're off next week. They do Arizona in 2 weeks, and we'll talk more then. Anything else that stuck out to you? Really cool to see Buddy Hall get a round one win, only the second round win of his career. Good for Jim Dunn and the folks. And it was a good run for Alexis DeJoria and Ida Zetterstrom. They had a great weekend for the JCM Racing team. So pretty strong start if you can dodge the weather. Of course, you know, if you need to end droughts, bring a motorsport there. Because it even rained Friday in Phoenix. All right. If you need to end droughts, bring a motorsport because that'll do it. Producer Peyton, any final thoughts before we move on?
Just that the ongoing feud between Matt Smith and Gage Herrera
is chef's kiss. Chef's kiss.
And can we please mention the IndyCar NHRA beef?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there beef between IndyCar and NHRA?
About this?
I have missed this.
Oh my gosh, Adam.
I'm talking about Wendy Scott.
Bring us the tea.
The tea is hot. So during the Super Bowl, and you might have, well, you don't get the commercials up there. All right. No. So look up the IndyCar commercials. IndyCar released a series of commercials recently during the Super Bowl. They're actually pretty funny commercials. They're good commercials, but they call IndyCar the fastest motorsport in the world.
Obviously,
like they're not, because they only go like 160 miles an hour, where like an NHRA they go 330. And so now NHRA is giving all these digs in on their broadcast at IndyCar, on social media, on their broadcast. Everyone is doing all these digs to IndyCar, but it's getting like, at first it was like jokes, but now they're like getting intense because they're both on Fox.
Right.
Trading the barbs.
Yeah, and Fox seems to be taking IndyCar's side.
Interesting.
To the point that Bob Tasca III, very notable funny car driver, told Amanda Busick, who does part-time for NASCAR, as you know, told Amanda Busick that I should be talking about this Q1 run. But you know what he said? He said he's disappointed in Fox Sports because, you know, they keep talking about the fastest motorsport in the world. And he said, I don't see my PPG Paints funny car there. I don't see Austin Proc's funny car there. And he ended it by saying, I didn't know Fox was a fake news network. He said that to Fox Sports live on the air. And
wow.
Just like it all started out as jokes and now yeah. It's like getting it's real.
Getting serious.
Yeah, frankly, I can't be mad at NHR for being upset at IndyCar and Fox because truly, I mean, you say if you like NHRA, awesome. If you don't, that's cool too. But there ain't nobody in this world going quicker than they are. Period. The end. It's a big time beef. And so just interesting. Of course, we'll keep you updated on it. But yeah. We got to keep moving it along. Let us know in the comments your thoughts on the IndyCar NHRA beef hubbub between them and, of course, both their TV partner, Fox. Absolutely. I'm kind of, and maybe I'm biased because NHRA is really accepted, Peyton and I, but yeah, I feel like IndyCar is kind of outright lying. I mean, they're not really the fastest in the world when you got them 40 miles per hour flying at you, but that's just my take.
Well, Matt's saying that it's the beef should be between NHRA and Fox because Fox are the ones that are promoting it as the fastest. I don't know if I have a dog in the fight, but I enjoy that there's tea. So
that's we like a good tea and beef sesh, boys.
Absolutely.
All right. Anywho, we got to keep moving along. So it's time for our Speedway Scoop.
If I can find the button.
All right. Back to some NASCAR news. Austin Cindric was penalized for his right hook of, I believe it was Ty Dillon at COTA. 50 points, loss of 50 points, and a $50,000 fine. Now, the debate here is some say a right hook should be a right hook, and the intent should be the intent. And I know Kyle Busch has said that it should be pretty cut and dried, right hook, one race suspension. I want to ask you, did NASCAR get this right, or is this the wrong call?
I think you have to penalize it, yes. Whether it's the right call or not, I don't know. I think if you do the one race suspension, then I think you have other people coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, that's too much. It was just Ty Dillon. It was in the back. No one was hurt. There was, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think, again, this is another case of NASCAR being damned if they do, damned if they don't. I'm okay with the 50-point, penalty and it not being a one race suspension just because it is the lower speeds of a road course instead of an oval. If you do that sort of thing at Daytona, you can kill someone. Right. So I think it's different and I'm okay with it. I think 50 points is still pretty rough. Like I think that puts Austin Cindric, where is he at now? 32nd in points. Yeah, so that's rough. Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah. Don't do it is probably what, the answer should be. And sure, the $50 or $50,000 fine, I don't know if anyone really cares about that, especially from Team Penske, but 50 points is pretty valuable. So yeah. Maybe they should have thrown in a couple playoff points just to like, you know, really, really punish, but I'm okay with it.
I had a discussion with buddies and they made a good case for why you should be suspended. And I don't disagree with them, but I also don't think NASCAR made the wrong call. They sent a stiff message. I mean, 50 points is a major deal. And people say, well, points penalties don't matter if they win. That's a big if.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm not trying to downgrade the career of Austin Cindric. He is a very capable driver. He is capable of winning. But he's not exactly proven himself to be a perennial powerhouse. All right? I'm not trying to put him down at all. I mean, at all. 100%. He's not exactly proven himself to be a perennial powerhouse that's capable of winning week in, week out. Winning is hard, folks. And so, yes, if he wins, I suppose you can say it was null and void. But that is a massive if. And if you don't believe me, there are plenty of drivers that are on long losing streaks right about now, namely Kyle Busch. We didn't think we'd ever see that day. And here we are. So, I'm again, I get the old, well, penalties don't matter for points when it's a win in your end system. Yeah, well, guess what? If it was raining, I'd be wet, but it's dry. If, sir, you know, I don't deal in ifs. We deal in absolutes around here. Matt Marsh says he thinks NASCAR got it right. He was penalized 50 points instead. Yeah, I agree. I could understand why someone wants him suspended because, yeah, I get the intent. I get that. I think that's a good point and worth noting. But at the same time, it's a case-by-case basis, and 50 points is not exactly a slap of the wrist in my estimation. That's just my take. NASCAR is in a holding pattern on Auto Club Speedway. They seem to say they're still adamant that they want to bring back racing to that area, NASCAR racing, stock car racing to that area.
Well, of course they want to be in the area. It's LA. It's one of the bigger markets, but I have not been sold since the moment that track shut down that they're going to come back there, and I'm still not, and this is just more proof in my opinion.
Yeah, so. I hope they do pull off the short track idea because I think that's important. I think it's a good market. And even though the race was putting on incredible races the last few years of its existence, but I hope that because it's especially such a neglected market among NASCAR, I really hope they find a way to make it happen, but I don't have high hopes as we speak.
Yeah.
Connor Zilich has got no more cup races planned for this season. I'm a little surprised by that. You'd think, because he seems to be the next guy in line at Trackhouse, according to a lot of folks. You know, a lot of the chatter, a lot of the rumor and innuendo seems to have him as the uncrowned king, if you will, of the next seat at some point. I'm surprised he doesn't have more on the schedule. You?
Yeah, a little bit. I wonder if that's partially. I know Trackhouse sometimes likes to bring in some other international drivers for some of these road course races. Like I know we've seen Raikkonen before and that in that kind of Project 91, they kind of were doing for a bit there. So I don't know. I guess I am surprised, but just because it's not planned right now doesn't mean it won't happen.
Right. So. Absolutely. You know, plans change quickly in life, but certainly in the sport of NASCAR, my goodness, does it. Yeah. No, I think he's very likely to be in the 99 or some form of it next year. That's my prediction as we stand. Could that change? Obviously. All right. And finally, Chase Briscoe had his big penalty overturned. Very surprising. Usually when NASCAR levies a penalty, especially of this severity, they have a pretty open and shut case on here's what you did, here's why you did it. As it turned out, they found the issue was with the parts and not because somebody was doing anything nefarious or egregious. Yeah. You know, good for Chase Briscoe. It does change the entire way you race your season. It changes where you qualify. It changes how you qualify. Any thoughts while we're moving along?
Yeah, I think it also, I mean, I don't think this is part of their thinking process, but I think it also gives NASCAR a little bit of a better look at things, you know. I think this idea that like, oh, if you try to appeal something against NASCAR, you'll never win anyways. And I feel like it's good for them to admit, hey, we were wrong about this and your penalty's overturned and sorry about the trouble. You know, I think that's a good look for NASCAR. So, yeah.
Before we move on, Matt Maher's got a comment. He said he's not super surprised that Zilich doesn't have more planned starts at the moment. He thinks it's going to come down to Red Bull. Red Bull wants to put him in. Yeah, look, sponsorship is the name of this here game. Well, for any motorsport for that matter. All right, Mr. Carabine, I know we got some things in the pipeline, so I'm going to ask you flat out. Where do you want to go now? Do you want Race Refresh picks? Do you want
to? No, we're going to go to our weekend preview, and we actually have a special guest here for the weekend preview.
All right.
Let's hit the button there, Peyton, and then I'll introduce him.
She's a looking.
She's working hard behind the scenes. It's a tough. Here we go. Well, yes. So we do normally have our weekend preview in this spot, of course, but we do have something new coming up this weekend, which is the start of the Formula One season. And we thought we should bring in our brand new Formula One writer, the one and only Ryan Wu. Let's bring him in to break down what's going to happen this weekend. Here he is. Peyton, you can hit the button. There we go.
Hello.
Hello. This is Ryan, everyone. And to be honest, a little peek behind the curtain here for all of us watching. This is actually the first time Ryan and Logan are meeting.
Pleasure to meet you, Ryan.
Pleasure, yes. It's an absolute pleasure.
I'll let you take it away.
I like you better.
First race of the season this weekend, Australia. Should be a good one. One of the faster tracks on the grid all year, and I think it always feels no more natural for Australia to be the first one to kick off the year. And they've, you know, been at Bahrain for the past few years, but it feels good to be back in Melbourne for the first weekend of the year. Plus, it's also at a somewhat normal hour for viewers in North America to watch, so it'll be exciting.
Yeah, you were saying, I guess 9 p.m. Pacific time, right?
9 p.m. Pacific Saturday night.
Yeah, so I guess not so great for our East Coast viewers. Yeah. A lot of our NASCAR viewers are East Coasters because they're lame. But so that's a midnight, a midnight start time. Thanks, you, Logan.
Midnight Eastern.
But still, you know, that's better than like the 4 a.m. that we're used to, right? So
when we're in the Asia and Middle Eastern swing, it'll be accessible hopefully. And qualifying's on Friday, 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern. So Saturday morning, but should be a doozy. I think it's going to be an exciting season. I'm personally really excited. I think it's first time in 4 or 5 years that, you know, there's not a runaway favorite to begin the season, and there's a new favorite too in McLaren.
Matt takes offense. Matt is a fellow Canadian with us. Ryan's also Canadian, but he takes offense as an East Coast Canadian. Yeah, well, you know what, West Coast, best coast, what can I say?
I will have to even have one.
Well, Ryan, I got to ask. So for Australia, who do you got your eye on?
I think I've got to be on McLaren. They've shown their mettle last year. They had been slowly figuring out for the past few years, but I feel like it's the championship prime for them to take, right? They won the constructor for the first time in 20 plus years. I think down the stretch, you saw a lot of growth from Lando Norris and just from the team in general too. So I expect there'll be, you know, if him and Piastri are battling out for 1-2, I'm praying there won't be any team orders in the first race, but I think, or I would expect the team to be doing whatever they can to make sure he gets out to elite, because, you know, we saw last year, it's Verstappen pretty much won he was hanging on for dear life, you know, late in the summer, and his lead was. And then I got my eye on all the rookies, right? We got, Andrea Kimiantonelli of Mercedes. We got Jack Doohan at Alpine. Liam Lawson with Red Bull. I think he's going to have big shoes to fill, right? They pretty much lost out on the constructors last year because they were for most of the year, one-man show. So can he at least keep pace with Verstappen and help them in the constructors standpoint? Should be really exciting. A lot of storylines, you know, as they unfold, and I'm interested to see what the actual pace of these cars are once qualifying starts on Thursday. Free practice starts on Thursday. But I don't think we'll really get to see what these cars are made of until Friday evening.
And then I got to ask you one more question before we let you go. One of the big stories was Lewis Hamilton's move of the offseason. You know, what are your expectations for him?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of drama surrounding it, right? He's, you know, he's joining the team that he cheered for when he was a little boy, and now he, you know, he's living out the dream after, you know, winning seven championships. I think if you ask him, I bet you he'll say, you know, to pass Michael Schumacher in the red, and I think that would be, I don't know how realistic that is for this coming year, but again, Ferrari did show real true pace, right? Their engine is top notch, but I think it's, can they be reliable enough for a whole season? And that's always been the downfall of them too, right? And it's the reliability, and it's, you know, the sometimes questionable and concerning strategy. I think he's got a shot. I think he's going to be, you know, there's again no true runaway favorites, but I think there's a few teams and a few drivers that I think can really compete for the world championship. But yeah, it's going to be weird to see him not in the Silver Arrows for the first time in, oh gosh, like 10 years now or 10 plus years. But I'm sure he's excited too to get going finally.
Well, appreciate it, Ryan. Appreciate you having me. And thank you for what you're doing for the website. I mean that very sincerely, 100%. I'm not just saying that because we're on the air. It's good to finally meet you, man. It's good to
find you. Yeah, likewise.
Adam, you got anything else for the newbie?
Well, I was just going to say we're going to have something coming out tomorrow morning from Ryan that is, I believe, a recap from testing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And then we just had something come out just before the show aired here, which is about Cadillac joining F1 next year, the new 11th team for F1. So you can check that out, kind of what we know so far and what the expectations might be. It's a great little article from our new friend Ryan here. So thanks for joining us today, Ryan.
Of course. And, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no worries. And if you want, you can hang out and we can chat after. But we do have a couple other things we got to get to before we wrap up the show here.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. Nice to meet you as well, Logan. And looking forward to a great weekend.
Pleasure, brother.
All righty. We'll pull Ryan out here. And there we go. I'm half doing Peyton's job here. The other thing, just our other part of the weekend preview, is that we've got NASCAR going to Vegas, all three series. The truck series is back. They're coming to Vegas as well, so we got all three going. Bell is going for four in a row. I did want to say here, we got Freddie said more Canadians than Americans, outnumbered you are, Logan.
That's all right.
I will
stand to be ready. We're here.
You guys can become the 11th province if you like.
You guys are dangerous with all your shit.
Matt says beers will be flowing. Xfinity Vegas plus cars tour, then F1. It'll be a good night of racing. And Matt says, as a former writer, have fun with it, Ryan, and congrats. Yeah. That's welcome. Cool. Awesome. We should move on to our racing refresh picks because we're so late. We got too chatty today, and it was a special treat having Ryan here, but let's why don't we move to that now?
All right.
Peyton, yeah.
Let's do it.
So Peyton, why don't you come back in here because you gotta make a pick as well. ChatGPT is kicking our butts.
It's in early.
Refresh it's picks. Early. I know it's early, and they're using up a lot of big names early on, but that's all right. Of course, they picked Bell, and we kind of scoffed, thinking, oh, three in a row is kind of crazy. But ChatGPT is winning for now. It's all right. Peyton, unfortunately, you came last. Logan broke his losing streak, which was it was a little sad. But Peyton, you get to pick first for Vegas. Who you got?
I haven't even looked at anything.
You could have predicted that this section of the show was coming?
You act like I knew we were going to do this.
You should have.
I mean,
where are we?
Vegas.
Since when are we in Vegas?
Since that Phoenix.
Remember that we are running behind schedule here as well.
You act like I knew that. I will take Noah Gregson.
Okay.
He's a Vegas guy.
That's a good choice. Yeah. And Logan, you're up next.
I'll continue the Vegas theme. I'll go Riley Herbst.
All right. Wow. I am going to take. I hadn't really thought this far ahead. You act like I should have known this is coming. You know what? I'm going to go.
Hard, isn't it?
I'm going to take Cody Ware. I think it's time. I want to use them up here. And ChatGPT has submitted their picks. They are going with Joey Logano.
Heavy so, hitter.
We could be in for another losing week here. Heavy but
hitter again. We're going to need him to pop a tire.
So there you go. That's our racing refresh picks for this week.
All right.
I did just want to, sorry, we got Freddie said his truck pick was Chandler Smith, Xfinity was Sam Mayer, and for Cup, Joey Logano.
Makes sense to me.
Don't tell Ryan Hill. He'd be so pleased. Ryan Hill's on my hit list right now. I'm not impressed.
Damn, that's a strong statement, buddy. That's,
yeah,
that's about two in the last week.
I've had to you can add an S in front of that as well, and we'll see what happens. That's all I got for Racing Refresh picks. Take it away, Logan.
All right. With that, look, every great episode of Racing Refresh or Speed Syndicate or this podcast, whatever you want to call it, must come to an end. But before we do that, it's time for a little closing time. Damn, I feel like that flew by. What the hell?
I know. Where'd the time go?
Yeah, that,
did you see me hit the button like right on time there?
That was really good.
I felt like the graphic flew by. That was awful fast. What the hell? Damn. It kind of pachinged at you. Anywho, look, we gotta get going. Adam's got stuff to do. He's got to make a sandwich and all that. So with that, Adam Caterbine, give me some final words.
Good to be back. Today at the end of the show, we had planned to maybe throw this in the middle, but I actually have a little video from when I was at COTA last week. And so we will close out the show with that today. So if people want to stick around and check it out. Oh, and I'm going to interrupt myself here with Freddie. And he says, we need a yeet button. I think we do. That's
yeet.
Peyton.
I will make you a yeet button.
Get on that pronto for next week. You don't have to do it now. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. So good to be back. Awesome that we had Ryan join us for a little F1 preview, and he'll be writing for F1 for our website for the rest of the year and possibly beyond. Who knows? Yeah. So awesome to have him here. And I don't know. I think that's all I got.
All right, buddy. Well, I enjoy it. With that, producer Peyton Lohr. Final words.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, you. You're a beautiful lady. Yes, you.
I remember my first show, too.
That was good, buddy. That was nice.
My final words are, I hope that Ryan Blaney wins Vegas. And you might say, well, Peyton, you say that every week. I have a specific want for this race.
Is that right?
Yes. Obviously, I hope he wins just so he can win. But when you win at Vegas, Las Vegas Motor Speedway sends out these little paper dolls of you.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I want one of Ryan Blaney. I have this one of Joey Logano, and I think I have one somewhere of Kyle Larson.
I do too, yeah.
I need one of Ryan Blaney.
There you go.
What an interesting. Well, it was, we'll see if that happens. He very well could win Vegas. I expect Ford yep. to be strong there. We shall see. Sorry, producer Peyton, were you not done? Looks like you have something else.
No, I'm done. I need to find a piece of paper so I can write myself a note to make a yeet button.
All right. Well, this episode could work is that reminder. You can always go back and watch it on YouTube or any of our audio channels, wherever you get your podcast and all that. See that segue, mm-hmm. boys? I am a profession now.
Nice.
Freddie says Blue Ovals are coming to collect wins on the weekend. I'm going to go with no. Hot take. No. I'm going to go with no. We'll see what happens. But see what happens. Anywho, that's been Adam Caterbine. That has been the one and only producer Peyton Ware. It was a pleasure to have Ryan on this podcast and meet him as well. Both Ryan, our F1 writer, and Ryan Hill, the biggest Joey Logano stan I know. pleasure to have both you gentlemen. For the most part, Ryan Hill, I'm talking. Anywho, with that, we thank you each and every week for tuning in. And if you're listening on our audio-only platforms, thank you, thank you, thank you sincerely. Don't be afraid to follow us on social media and check out racingrefresh.com to stay tuned for all the news and notes in motorsports. Until next week, I'm Logan, and we'll see you at the next track.